It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. That's Isaiah 65, 17 and 18. And with that, we welcome you to today's issue of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland and Bert Harper are here. And Bert, we've been in Isaiah for a while, but today, even though I opened up with a verse from Isaiah, we're going to do what we do on Fridays, Fire Away Friday. Now, folks, here's how it works. Wherever you are, you can call in toll-free nationwide, and you can ask a Bible question or a question related to Christian worldview or defending the faith or whatever is on your mind. We'll do our very best to give you an answer that's biblical, factual, and practical. And that's because Bert Harper and I, we love the Word of God ourselves, and we do our best to integrate it into our lives. And Bert, welcome back, my dear brother.
Well, it is good to be back. I was with you in Nashville, and it was so good to be with you face-to-face in Nashville. But then I had a week off, close to a week, with grandsons. And I'm telling you what, you asked me what I was doing. I was trying to influence the future generations, brother. And I can't think of anything more important than that. Do you remember the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? And I think that we've downplayed spending time with family too much. And it was great to be with those grandsons and spending time with them and sharing with them. So, but it's good to be back. And I know I want to appreciate some folks. I thank people for doing what they do. Jim Stanley, he sits in me when I'm gone, and for you. And we appreciate him and all the direction he gives to AFR. Also, Devin Patrick has been with us for these few weeks as our producer. Today's his last day with us. This go-round, you never know when someone might return. And Brent Creeley will be returning, and we're looking forward to that. But Cedra is still on the phone. So I'm telling you, we still got our team together.
We have a good team. And, it's been my privilege to work with Devin for, 7 or 8 or 9 years. And the AFA family, the AFR family, is a very special, very, very dedicated team, isn't it?
It is. And I'm telling you what, I know you come down. Those of you that don't know, Alex is on the road, and he has this machine called a Comrex. Now, I don't know how it works, but I just know it works well. And if he's got a internet connection strong enough, it sounds like he's just right here by me. And we've gotten to learn one another long enough these 6 years that we can kind of read one another. And we know each other well enough, Alex, that we interrupt each other and don't get mad. That's a pretty good trait, isn't it?
I know. Do you know what? Even though I'm, on the road a lot, and then, half a dozen times a year, 4 or 5 times a year, I go to Tupelo and we'll do the show live together or like at a conference like we were in Nashville. But, it's almost like I can see Bert across the table from me. And I know when you're going to pause, you know when I'm going to pause. And the Lord's allowed us to work this show, even though I'm in 25 or 30 states a year to preach.
Amen. And listen, keep it up as long as you can. Alex, that's your calling. Everybody wants to know, what is that, Alex? At his heart, he's an evangelist. Now, he's pastored. He's an apologist. He's been in youth ministry. He's done so much, a professor, a president, a seminary professor. But at the heart of Alex McFarland, he is the evangelist. And I say that with great gratitude because in our day, there's not too many of them left that actually do that. They do it. Alex, you do it privately, you do it publicly, and I praise God for your calling and equipping. And I say that, I just lay it out there, and I do thank God for the privilege of working with you, brother.
Well, God is good. And in fact, at 7 p.m. tonight Eastern, I'll be at a youth rally. So folks, keep me in prayer. The show, 4 to 5 Eastern time, and then I'm going to drive a little ways to a youth camp. And so I'll be in front of teenagers tonight sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, amen. Well, let's give this number. It is Fire Away Friday, and we want to take phone calls. We've got people that already know the number, and believe it or not, the lines are already filled. But we're going to give the number anyway, so that those of you that want to try to get in can. We do ask folks that hadn't called, you know, if you've called in the last 2 weeks, delay some, and we appreciate that. That helps us to get as many people online as we can. But that number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we're going to go to the phone lines and talk to David in Arkansas. David, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, guys.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question on the rapture. And, we say that when a child reaches, quote-unquote, the age of accountability, that until they reach that, they're not accountable for their sins. But when the rapture happens, what is going to happen with those young children and those that don't quite understand the sin nature and all that with them?
Okay, David, thank you. Listen, let me just share this, and I want to set this up correctly. Nobody can give a clarative answer to that from a biblical verse. Now, what you do, you put some verses together and look at God's love for the children, God's thought of when he could return for as the rapture is concerned, and we know a rapture is going to take place. The big debate is when is it going to, because It says those who remain are caught up in the air. That's a rapture. That's the Latin word. And so, Alex, have you ever been asked that? What about those children?
I have. And, you know, you're right, Bert. The Bible doesn't specifically say on this. And I think maybe the question in the minds of some parents is, you know, what will happen to my children or my newborn if the rapture were to occur? While the Bible isn't explicitly clear on this, Bert, I believe children will be in the presence of the Lord that second of the rapture. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that children under the age of accountability will instantly be in the presence of the Lord at the rapture.
I agree. And that's the reason I said when you put scripture together, you see God's care for children is beyond measure. And I know people are always asking, why in the world does God permit some things happening, you know, birth defects, why in the world child trafficking? I just know we live in a fallen world, and sin has brought that on. Man, God, that's not God's intent. God's going to deliver us one day from that. So when you put all that care that God has for children, put it together, I think you're exactly right that they'll be with us who know the Lord. They'll be with us as well. But David, thank you for that, and we appreciate your call. Let's go to Bobby Joe in Texas. Bobby Joe, welcome.
Ah, Bert and Alex. I was getting used to Jim Stanley there, Bert.
Oh, no, man. Well, hey, listen, Jim's fine. Listen, you'll never hear Bert and Alex say a word about Jim except good. I'm telling you, because he sure is good to us, isn't he, Alex?
Jim is so good to us. I have a radio career thanks to Jim Stanley, but he's also quite the Bible scholar himself. And, you know, Jim is a very musical guy. He was a music leader and a worship leader in churches before, but he's pretty good radio guy himself.
He is. But, Bobby Joe, you got a question today? Go ahead, brother.
I got more of an encouragement. First and foremost, for your voices, how we all put faces and people's personas to their voice. Alex's voice is such a friend. Bert, yours is a daddy, and Jim Stanley sounds like he's just fun.
You know what, Bobby Joe, you do, among other gifts, I think you have the spiritual gift of encouragement or exhortation. I think you're a real encourager.
Amen.
Well, the Lord laid it on me that I had to write the other day, and I struggled, as Alex knows, about salvation and working it out, working forward. Long story short, you cannot lose something you did not obtain. You didn't earn it. You can't get it. It's free. All you got to do is take it, and he gives it, and he does not take it back.
Amen. And this salvation that we have, Alex, I'm an AFR listener. I don't know if everybody knows that besides me being on it. And at lunchtime, I'm out, and we have a program that comes on. And we were hearing today about working out your salvation with fear and trembling with what God has given you. It's an amazing thing. If you've got salvation, just to sit back and say, okay, I'm doing nothing, that's not the grace that God gave. And you say, well, I've got to work for it to demonstrate it, and I've got to work it to keep it. That's not the grace that God's talking about. But God gives us the will and the way in order to work out our salvation. Not work on it, not work for it, but work it out. In other words, we have to work out that we already have, don't we?
We do. We live, we walk, and a big part of it, I think, Bert, is learning to trust the Lord. And learning to, just as every day goes by, as every year passes, to be more and more intimate, close to the Lord. And, you know, we can trust Him all situations of life, can't we?
Amen. What a statement. You can trust Him. I still go back to John 6:66, when they walked away and Jesus said, are you going to go away? And Peter said, to whom would we go? You have the words of life. And Alex, the older I get, the more I appreciate what Peter said and agree with what he said. Well, let's answer this question. Dwight from Illinois called in. He didn't want to be on there, but he wanted a Bible commentary recommendations. And there's different. Let me set this up, Dwight, and appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in. Cedra taking the question down. There's different kinds of Bible commentaries. Now, I'm not talking about bad and good, and I'm not talking about liberal and conservative. But I'm talking about those that are more technical, academic, and those that are more devotional. And a lot of it, if you can get one of each, that is real good. If you can get one or two or three, I've got a lot more in mind. But Logos, and you can go that on the air, and but it's worth getting on your internet, and it has all kinds of commentaries there. But Alex, you have that, which is a commentary devotional, and it's going to get. It's not necessarily untechnical, but it has Hebrew and it has Greek words, but it presents it in a way that helps you grow and know God's will. Whereas the technical thing, sometimes the history gets it and the word gets it, and it's a combination of those things of the commentaries I like. How about you?
Well, yeah, and you know, I know everybody does so much online these days, but let me encourage you to build a library of books. And by that, I mean books. You know, everybody is online. Because seriously, there's something about reading and handling a book, and there's a lot more neurons firing in your brain. And many people have done studies, and they believe that your recollection, your comprehension is better when you study from a book. So buy some good books. There's one we've recommended, and it's not like a verse-by-verse commentary, but it is like an overview of the Bible, and it's by a guy named Harold Wilmington. He's been at Liberty University for a lot of years. Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, spelled W-I-L-L-M-I-N-G-T-O-N, Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, is really, really good. Another thing, Bert, let me say, and folks, don't let this scare you, but Young's Analytical Concordance. Now, amen. I know that's a mouthful.
It is, but it's great.
It really is. And you can look for every word in the Bible, Old and New Testament. You can look at the words, look up all these meanings. It's really powerful.
Having a good commentary is great. Having a great concordance is even better. Really is. And don't forget, J. Sidlow Baxter's Explore the Book. I want to tell you, it's great as well. We'll be back with more right after the break.
You shall not murder. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. This is the sixth commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. We are asking schools all over America to put this on their marquees, put this on their signs out in front of their school for 1 week to remind America's students that innocent life is precious. Help us spread the word about this campaign to your friends and family. Please go to our website, afa.net, and sign our open letter to America's schools. We need to proclaim this message, you shall not murder, across the land. Why? Because gun control alone will not solve matters of the heart. We need our young people to understand that murder is a violation of God's law and also it's a violation of the laws all across this land. So help us. Go to AFA.net and spread the word.
The old saying goes, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. That's why Dr. Tony Evans wants us to take a closer look at a trade-off too many people are making. He'll tell us about it today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If someone, and you knew they had the ability to do it, came to you and says, I'm going to give you $10 million and all you have to do is one thing for it, and you knew they had the ability to do it, you knew they meant what they said, you start getting all excited. The only condition for the $10 million is at the end of 12 months, you must commit suicide. All of a sudden, the $10 million, if you got sense, would lose its appeal. And the reason that the $10 million would lose its appeal is compared to the cost you would have to give for it, it wouldn't be worth it. It's not worth it to lose Jesus Christ just to accumulate what the world has to offer. It's not worth it. Please don't misunderstand me. It's okay to be blessed. It's okay if God prospers you. I don't agree with prosperity theology, but I do believe God prospers us. That's nothing wrong with that. But what he's saying is, don't use that as an excuse to delay me being first. Don't let the physical world cause you to delay the spiritual world, because you're going to run into some things in life that money can't fix, job can't fix, friends can't fix, circumstances can't fix, and you're going to need God. So you better have been following him.
Learn more about getting your values in order by putting first things first, starting with the Lord. Check out Tony's CD series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. And then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here on Fireway Friday, and we're taking phone calls. We've still got people calling in. That number, 888-589-8840. We're going to go straight to the lines, get as many as we can. And we go to, is it Callie or Callie? Callie or Callie from North Carolina?
It's Callie, gentlemen.
Okay, Callie. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I just want to say how much I appreciate you guys. I drive an hour to work and from work every day, and AFR is just like family to me because I hear you guys so much. I appreciate your ministry. But my question today is going to be about Calvinism versus Arminian. Basically, I need help on finding where it says in the Bible about free will versus predestination, etc. I know that first, in order to have salvation, you have to be called by the Lord, but where does it talk about, like, free will and sanctification, et cetera?
Okay, Callie, thank you. Let me just share with you. Alex, I want to make this statement. This would be the last time we'll take any calls about Calvinism and Arminianism, because there are some subjects that seem like if you get on, the rest of the show can go that way, and that's not what Exploring the Word's about. We like to look, and there's different people, Kelly, that have different views on this. I just want to share with you. If I have a friend, and Alex, you get the scriptures ready, if you don't mind, and just give Kelly some, but I want to make this. I have a friend, Byron Paulus. He is one of the finest men that I know. He was Life Action Ministries out of Buchanan and Niles, Michigan up there. They do such a great job of intervening in churches and helping. And he says this, when I'm with an extreme Calvinist, I'm Arminian. And when I'm with an Arminian, I'm a Calvinist, because both of them need some balance. Now, again, I know I'm offending half of the audience out there and the other half as well, but let me just share this with you. We look at those things, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. I call it the accountability of man. We look at them as opposing one another. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. They complement one another, I do believe. And we may not can understand the complement, but God does. And because you see the sovereignty of God being strong, but you also see man's accountability being strong as well, don't you?
You really do. And ma'am, thanks for listening. We really, really appreciate that. And you know, regardless of where you fall on the Calvinist-Arminian debate, and I would not consider myself a Calvinist, and we can talk about that at some point, but let me just say this, and I do want to share a couple of Bible verses. I think regardless of where you fall on election and free will and those types of things, the thing that we agree on, the Son of God died on the cross, shed his blood to wash our sins away, rose from the dead, and we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and we are born again through Jesus, and he's coming again, and we are family. And listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, we are family. Bert, George Whitefield and John and Charles Wesley were different on election. And the Wesleys were more Arminian. Whitefield was a Calvinist, a great evangelist in the colonial days. Somebody asked George Whitefield, "Do you think you'll see John Wesley in heaven?" And he said, "No, I won't." And they said, "Really? You don't think you'll see Wesley in heaven?" And George Whitefield said, "No, because he'll be so close up to the throne of God, and I'll be so far away in the back, he'll be so close to the Lord, I probably won't even be able to see him."
Hallelujah.
And, I mean, that's a civility and a love and a
that we need, right?
We need it.
Amen. We're calling for it. Let me put that, I'm interrupting you. We're calling that out on Exploring the Word. We need that in our lives where we complement one another, not argue with one another. Go ahead, brother.
Well, and you know, when we were at Billy Graham's funeral the other day, I saw Erwin Lutzer, my dear, dear friend, who is as five-point Calvinist as it gets. And I saw James Dobson, who is a Nazarene and is not a Calvinist. And we were hugging and wiping tears away and praying and fellowshipping together. And, hey, at this juncture in the culture, brothers and sisters and believers everywhere, we need each other.
Amen.
We're family. But let me say, verses about free will. You know, Bert, I think about 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it says, "No temptation has overcome you except as is common to man, and God is faithful. With every temptation makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And if you go back to Genesis 3, where God told Adam and Eve, "Of every tree in the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat. In the day thereof that you eat, you will die." You see, God offers the right, but there is the possibility of disobedience. And do you remember in the Old Testament, I think about Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, where it says, you know, "I call on you as a witness before heaven and earth. Choose life that your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and enter this land." Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testaments, there is the reality of God and salvation, but there is the opportunity for disobedience. John 7:17 says, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God, to find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak my own," that was Jesus in John 7:17. By believing in Jesus, choosing to do the will of God. So you're right, Bert, there is the sovereignty of God, the providence of God, obviously, but there is the responsibility of man.
And I just want to say it one more time, then we'll go to the next question. They complement one another, do not compete one another in God's, in his vision and word, and we dare not complicate it. And I just stand on that. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly, for that great call. Let's go to Texas and talk to Joshua. Joshua, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I actually had two questions. But my first question was, I wanted to know if youth groups were biblical, because the only biblical instance I can think of where, you know, teenagers, you know, congregated or whatever was with Rehoboam, and that didn't turn out too good.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Go ahead, Alex. Yeah, it did turn out too good.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Youth groups are kind of a post-World War II phenomenon in the mid-50s with the rise of adolescent culture. You know, churches begin to have youth groups, but it goes all the way back. There was a man in England in the 19th century called Richard Raikes, and Richard Raikes started Sunday schools. They called them Sabbath schools, and they met to teach kids how to read, but how to read the Bible. And a lot of denominations, like the Baptists, had sometimes they call it training union, or RAs and GAs, a good thing. Let me say, youth groups aren't biblical or unbiblical. It's a method. It's a method to try to reach people and disciple people. And I think it can be beneficial. And I was a youth pastor for 11 years. But Bert, let me do say a caution. You don't want to create a church within the church. And sometimes I've seen where youth groups are sequestered away, and they, you know, it's more about pizza, paintball, and Pepsi. And while the senior adults might have Bible study on their own together, and the youth might have their time together, and the, you know, singles have their ministry, always in every church, I think it's very healthy to keep that corporate worship, because we are part of the body of Christ. I had a youth pastor, and I've spoken at a lot of youth pastor conferences and things, and there's this mindset sometimes, well, you know, the youth don't want to be in the church service because, you know, there's sometimes it's long and boring and there's old people there. And this youth pastor said to me, you know, I'm not going to take my teens in there to sit next to the blue hairs. And I said, wait a minute, brother. I said, look, for one thing, if the good Lord gives us a long enough life, we're all going to be a blue hair one day. The other thing is, though, there is corporate worship, and I think it's fine to sequester Sunday schools and divvy up by age group or married, single, fine. But remember, we are part of the big, broad body of Christ, and corporate worship and corporate preaching, don't miss that. Don't train your youth to not know that they're part of the larger body of Christ.
Great answer, Alex, and I'll not add to that except for one thing. When you're missing out on the corporate worship of ages, you're missing out on a God design. God designed that. You look at it and you see it, but he also designed this idea of you know, shared with one another likeness, whether it be age. It's sort of like male and female. It talks about the ladies, older ladies, teaching the younger ladies. They're younger. You can call it a youth group, or you can talk older men teaching the young men. You can call that a group. And there is some, I think, a little bit of a hint of pulling them aside from time to time, but not all the time. And I fully agree. Great answer. Joshua, we said you had a second question. Make it quick, and we'll before we go, brother.
My other question was, I have a friend, and she's the girl that you know, helped me get saved and all that, but now she's sort of falling away, and I want to know what I could do about that, I could do to help, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, listen, I don't want to know, I don't want this to be a cliche. I mean it. The best things you can do is pray for her and do your best not to be pulled down. Don't be pulled away from God to her, but do your best. Listen, God has made us to be relational, and you don't need to throw her away. Stay in contact. Do not discontinue complete contact. Now, I know some people say you isolate them, but if she is straying, there's a difference in people going completely away and then those that are straying. There's a difference, and that isn't through Alex.
Well, there really is. And, you know, Josh McDowell, great hero of the faith and certainly a mentor in my life, but Josh McDowell said, every date is a potential mate. And, you know, I encourage young people to, you know, the friends that you associate with, and certainly if you become, you know, in a relationship with somebody, make sure if you're a Christian that you only get serious with somebody who also is a Christian. Because in building a home, you want to have the same values and same priorities. And if one is committed to the Lord Jesus and one is not, it makes for a very, very hard journey. And as Bert said, very often they will bring you down rather than you bring them up. The other thing I want to say, Bert, is I had a friend who was a marathon runner. And, you know, he was showing me pictures of different marathons that he had run in. And he said, you know, the group you start with is not always the group you finish with. Because you start in you know, a group of runners and some fall away one by one. In the Christian life, the person that you start the journey around, maybe even the person who led you to the Lord. They may not be the person who's with you for the entirety of the race, Bert. Am I right?
You are right. John Bassanio, who is pastor out in Dallas, Houston, Texas, a great man of God, he said his father-in-law, when he met him, he came home to meet him and found out he was a preacher. And he said, there'll be 10 guys that you're going to school with, John, and there'll be only one that will retire in the ministry. The others will fall away. And I remember, and I heard him say it. I heard he had said it, and then finally I heard him in a message, and then I heard him say it. And he said, I wrote some names down, and sure enough, that is so true. Listen, when you look at Paul's writing, and he says, only Luke is with me, and he talks about Demas has forsaken him, and someone else has gone this way and that way. Do not base your salvation on other people. Your salvation is based on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, where he is, and what he's doing right now. And he is able to deliver. That's Jesus. And don't put your eyes so strongly on man, you'll be drawn away. Thank you, Joshua, those good questions. And usually we don't ask two, but I felt like we needed those two. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Heidi in Georgia. Heidi, welcome. Heidi, are you there? Okay, let's go to Louisiana and talk to Becky. Becky, welcome.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. I'm so glad to talk to you, and thank you for your ministry. We've got a unique problem in this area in Louisiana, so intermarried, the Catholics and Protestants. And the people in my church are desperate in their mind to believe that their practicing Catholic relatives are saved. And my question is, how do you delicately handle this? And how do I go about evangelizing a Catholic? Because I'm not going to lie to the people. And I've seen a lot of pastors, unfortunately, dance on the head of a pin about this question. But this is an eternal salvation question.
It is, Becky, and we appreciate you listening. Appreciate Louisiana. I love Louisiana, southern Louisiana, central, northern, been in all parts, and we appreciate it. But again, let me even say that you're saved by grace through faith. You're not saved through a denomination. You're not saved through relationship in a church. Whether you're, I know Adrian Rogers said it this way, Alex, said, you know, he was talking about who all would go to heaven, and he was talking about one group, and I'm not going to call them by names. He did it by denominations. I'll not do that today. He was talking about they think they're the only ones there, and there's another group think they're everybody's going there. And he said, all those Baptists that think they're going there, I'm picking on Baptists because you and I are Baptists. Not all Baptists teaching you were going to heaven either. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter if you're Baptist, Catholic, Church of Christ, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God. It is that relationship with Jesus Christ, Becky. And you start there. You start with Jesus. I don't mean to simplify it, Alex, but we complicate things sometimes. It is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will do his work, and the Word of God will do its work on it.
Amen. Amen. Quote Scripture. The Holy Spirit of God will use Scripture. And, you know, in witnessing to anybody who might be religious but lost, keep on talking about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's the key to eternal life.
I think that could be the key to exploring the Word. It's a relationship, not religion. Hear that quite often, don't we?
Amen. Amen. Hey. We got a break, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to come back with more of your questions after this brief break.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. While much media attention has been focused on ISIS and the plight of persecuted minorities in the Middle East, 11,500 Christians have been slaughtered in northern Nigeria in 5 years. Entire villages have been destroyed in one fell swoop. The culprits are Boko Haram, the Nigerian version of ISIS, and the Muslim Fulani herdsmen who burn entire villages to the ground if poor farm families refuse to allow the herdsmen to dominate their farms. Why is this going unreported?
Listen to the Hamilton Corner weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more, from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This scroll is the title deed to this earth, and through the tribulation that is going to take place on this earth, Jesus Christ is going to once again gain control of the earth that belongs to him.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series Escape the Coming Night, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios. God has called me to speak truth in these troubled days. In the old Soviet Union, initially, millions were murdered. After fear was instilled, lies became the standard. Christians met underground. They were prevented from employment, opportunity, and most of all, from exercising their own consciences. I fear this is where our nation is headed, unless we speak up.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
announcement. No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to continue on with Fireway Friday, 888-589-8840 with your Bible questions. But let me do a little bit of housekeeping, folks. Listen very carefully. Coming up pretty soon is Share-a-thon. And we love to hear listener testimonies. And if this show, if Exploring the Word has been a blessing to you, let us know about it. So I want to give you a number. This is not the call-in number for questions, but for testimonies. If you want to say how this show has touched your life, call in 877-876-8893. You can email us at word@afr.net, and we would love to hear from you. We do want the show to be a blessing. We love the Word of God, and we are just humbled. And folks, I know I speak for Bert and myself. Those that you say you listen in the car and the show is special to you, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. It's beyond words how grateful we are for you. One more thing I'll say, and I'm going to throw back to you, Bert. 2 weeks from today, Truth for a New Generation, our Spring 2018 Apologetics Conference, Greensboro, North Carolina. People, Bert, we've got people coming from Texas, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, and they're going to hear Abraham Hamilton III from AFR, Josh McDowell, J. Warner Wallace, Todd Stearns from Fox News. It's amazing. The website, truthforanewgeneration.com. Hope to see you there as we get equipped to share the gospel, pray for revival, and see God at work in our nation.
If you've never been to one, let me encourage you. I have been. Alex had me 1 year and I spoke, and it was a privilege, a joy, the energy that was there. I mean, we're talking about the corporate worship of youth and adults. We had all of that in that group that I was preaching to. And you just don't get that kind of energy from older folks. You need those younger ones there, but also you need the maturity of the older ones. And you get that at Truth for a New Generation. So let me encourage you. Yeah.
And we got two more planned this year. We'll be telling you about later. And we're talking to Philadelphia. We're talking to Phoenix. And, you know, traveling all over the country, getting together, you know, Lee Strobel and all the people, Josh, Lee, Erwin Lutzer, Beth Moore, Kay Arthur, you know, we've been blessed to work with all kinds of people. And I will tell you, Bert, getting them all together is not easy.
Hey, brother, I can't imagine. Okay, I have trouble getting Jen and me to go to a place. I can't imagine getting that many. But anyway, Alex, we are praying. Let's take time to pray for that. I know we've announced it. Let's pray for it. Let me lead us in prayer about truth for Amen. New generation. Father, I thank you for Alex and his heart for evangelism, his heart for revival. And we thank you that truth for a new generation in the past has reached so many people with the gospel and the truth and the defense of the gospel. And Father, we're praying for this one in Greensboro in 2 weeks, that the power of God would come down. I pray that there would be people already. We hadn't got but 2 weeks remaining, and they would say, you know, I want to see if we can get there. And Father, I pray when they get there, they'll walk into that building, and they will experience the presence of God already there permeating the place. Thank you for Alex, his heart for meetings like this, and his ability to get them together because he knows who they are and he knows what they can bring to the pulpit, and I pray you'd bless in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Carlos from Texas. Carlos, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. I do have a question about Bathsheba and David and when his baby dies and when Samuel meets with him to tell him, you know, he's the man, or, you know, points his finger at him.
Right.
But I wanted to bring up one quick point about Philippians, 2:12, where work out your own salvation.
Okay.
Okay. Because Paul, the same writer, previously told us, I guess it was in Galatians or Ephesians, that if we add even one thing to our salvation or to the gospel, then we're making the cross as of none effect. So it couldn't mean that we need to work for our salvation. But that word just stood out for me. And I was thinking, exercise. What about if he's telling us to exercise our faith, exercise our salvation? You know, when we exercise, we get stronger and feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I did.
Amen.
So that's what I think he's telling us. I think he's telling us to exercise our faith, and our faith will grow. So I just wanted to throw that.
That's a good deal. Alex, matter of fact, I think the last time we used that, you used that like a workout, Alex. I think that was it. So, Carlos, right on. The timeline of David and all of that, Alex, I'm telling you what, Nathaniel comes on the scene and says, you are the man. And I'm telling you, we know within the time frame, that was one of the most specific, detailed timelines we have in David's life, isn't it? Really, because it goes from it really clips it off pretty thoroughly about what all the timeline was. Not necessarily the exact date, but the pregnancy and everything that goes with it.
Oh yeah, and that very famous line, 2 Samuel 12. You know, where Samuel says, "You are the man. Thou art the man." You know. In life, it's hard to be a Samuel and confront somebody, but regarding having to be called out for sin, better to be a Samuel than a David, at least in that sense. But let me comment on the Philippians 2:12, where, you know, famously in the English translations, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And clearly, if you look at all the salvation verses, it doesn't mean work for your salvation. But interestingly, the word there, Bert, that's translated work out, it really means accomplish to the final end your salvation. And what I really think it's talking about there, you know, work down to the end point or live out, accomplish, finish to the end point your salvation. I think it's talking about the journey you have as a Christian. You see, Christian birth is completely by the grace of God. But Christian growth, Christian service, Christian maturity, that does include you choosing, investing, working. Bert, I'm going to say it. Discipleship, sanctification, it's work a little bit, isn't it?
It is. Let me read verse 13. And I'm guilty. I'll leave it out, but listen to this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's verse 12. Listen to verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. While you're working out, God is working in. Isn't that pretty good?
Amen. Good one.
It is. And God, I think that goes back to Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will do what?
Complete. Be faithful.
It. Amen. He'll complete it unto the day of Christ. And that working out and working in, that's what God does. To me, that's kind of like the sovereignty of God and the man's accountability. They work together. And when you try to separate them, you're going to mess up. That's the whole idea. When you try to work out, oh, it's just God working in me, you become lazy. When it's all about you, you become faithless. And no, it's working out to work in. And
you know, Bert, this is not a perfect illustration, but if you've ever lifted weights, you generally, it's good to have a buddy who's a little bit stronger to spot you. Let's say you're trying to bench press, and it's you just almost can get it, but it's a little much. Well, a spotter will help you get going. Will, if you get in trouble and you're about to drop a weight on yourself, your spotter will kind of bail you out. And this is, like I said, it's not a perfect picture of it, but God is spotting you. In the Christian growth, Christian walk, sanctification, you say your prayers, you make that choice daily, hourly. You know, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm not going to listen to the flesh. I'm going to follow the Spirit. And you're right, Philippians 2:13, God is working in you, but you've got to be a willing participant hand in hand with him.
Amen. Carlos, thank you, brother. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Don. Don, welcome to Exploring the Word.
God bless you guys. I got a question here on Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. In 11, there's 1,290 days, and in verse 12, there's 1,335 days. That extra 45 days, do you know what that is? Is there something in Daniel that corresponds with Revelations here?
Alex, have you got that before you?
You know, I don't. And let me tell you what I'd like to do on this, because, you know, prophecy is such an important thing. Let me work on this, and I want to make sure I give you an accurate answer. And I know the 1,290 days and the 1,335 days, two different things. And so let me save this till what day next week? You want to do it on Friday or Monday, Bert?
Let's do it Monday, because, off of my brain, out of sight. So let's do it Monday. And will you have time to, and I will do it as well. We'll look at that. I've looked at it, and I know I've heard, and I'm trying to remember. If I had Alex's memory, I would be calling it to memory. But both of us, if we did that, Don, we would be taking a stab at it and without enough knowledge. So we're going to put that one off, brother. Thank you. Thank you for your calling. Let's go to Richard in Louisiana. Richard, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I've got a question. It's not about a verse in the Bible, but to clear up some confusion with me. When do you pray to God the Father and to Jesus, you know, God the Son?
Good question.
Okay, Alex, does what comes to your mind? You remember when Jesus is being asked that, and not necessarily about prayer, but he was talking, and he said, we would love to see the Father. And Jesus replied, have you not understood that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father? Could it be? I mean, I know the model prayer that we call it, you know, the Lord's Prayer, Heavenly Father, how would be thy name? But Alex, is it true if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father? If you pray to Jesus, you're praying to the Father?
Yeah,
am I wrong in
you're
making
right
that
on
connection?
That, John 14:9.
Yeah.
Because of the Trinity, there's one God. That's Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. But the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, and they're all co-equal. Now, we often pray in Jesus' name, and that's completely biblical.
We often say the blessing. We'll say, Heavenly Father, thank you for this food. You could pray in the name of the Holy Spirit. As long as you're, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are one. They are co-equal. Now, the Trinity, that's a subject that is a whole, that's material for an entire show.
It is.
But Jesus said, and see, that's the thing, as Norm Geisler so eloquently says, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And Jesus said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father.
Amen. Richard, let me just put it this way. There's this song, and I love it, and you're just talking about praying the Holy Spirit. And I love it. It's one of those courses, and it's a praise but a welcome. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome here. You know, amen, Alex. And you know, when I prayed for Truth for a New Generation, and I was talking about the building that people would walk into, and I was talking about the presence of God would be there, guess I was praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come into that place.
Amen.
And I would say, Holy Spirit, while you're here, do your work. So, man, pray to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Just pray and seek Him. Thank you, Richard, for a good question. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Bob. Bob, welcome.
Hey guys, I really appreciate your show. I listen to the podcast and it's great, but it's really a greater when it's live, because we're just one big happy family, you know. But
amen.
It's just like we're in the present right now, just one big happy family. But I just want to make a comment, and then I'll hang out and listen to what y'all say. Is, you know, what is it? John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And what's okay? I got born again in 1979, and I was like on cloud nine, guys. You know what I'm talking about? It's like this is going to carry me through, but I learned later that, you know, sadly, that's not right. You've got to study. That's doctrine that gets us through, you know, also doctrine. But I'm just so happy since I've learned that He is the way. It's not, we don't put our faith in something, you know, whatever that is. If you're putting your faith in something, that's awful dangerous, because you're not putting your faith and your trust in the way. I like what Bert said, make a beeline for Jesus every time. And just he said, I'm the way. That means I'm the way. It's me. He said, what did he say 19 times in the New Testament? Follow me. He said, I'm the way. Don't put your faith in something. That is so dangerous. Just like what is also dangerous, if you don't believe a certain part of the Word of God, does that make you a believer? You know, I believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and that shall be said. But I'll hang up.
Amen.
I'll get going here. But the thing about it is, here's what I'm trying to say. He said, I'm the way. It's
Amen.
The Creator. It's not a thing. If you're putting your faith in some thing, or you don't read part of that Bible, or I'm going to say something else, study. You're
Amen.
Going to get in trouble at some point. You're going to get some big trouble. Anyway, love your show and the podcast, and I'll just hang up. But he said, I'm the way. Now, thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Amen, Bob. Man, don't you love enthusiasm, Alex? Don't
That's
you?
That's right.
Man, I agree with you, Bob. There's something about live. I know I've gone to some churches, and I've had to – it was an overflow crowd, and I had to view the pastor on the screen. And I remember, man, that's good, but can you imagine being there and watching him? And but, yes, he is the way. Alex, the is a pretty definite article, isn't it? What does it mean? You're the English major. What's the difference in a definite article and an indefinite article?
Well, the definite article has a definite direct object. Jesus is the way. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus.
Amen. And Bob, that's what we're saying. Here it is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we don't care what church, what denomination you are. It's Jesus. Make a beeline for Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. Give Him your all. Alex, have a great weekend, brother.
And you too. Folks, thanks for listening. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.